This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard, man.
Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie, the president is with me here.
John
in studio.
I always knew being a president was nice, but it's fun.
You going to give an hour and a half speech like our president the other night?
Hour? No. I'm just going to work.
That's it.
And you know, the spirit is golf, but it's about philanthropy. Corby Robertson, who is the chairman and the founder of the Spirit Golf Association and all that, his mission is helping other people. You know, like we've been talking about the Houston Food Bank,
right,
so on and so forth, and we're running tournaments to make people aware of that other people need help. So it's you know, I've been trying to fix everybody's slices and making a couple birdies the last 50 years. Now I'm involved in something that's really a lot more interesting, mm-hmm. you might say. So we'll be hearing more about it. But the Club Whispering Pines is going to open up in another couple of weeks. They redid it all this year, and we'll get ready for the 2021 Spirit Tournament. So there's a lot on my plate, and I'm very, very happy to be involved.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what the Spirit is a bunch of international countries, young people, 13, 14 years old. How old are
they? No, they're older than that.
Oh,
we've had young.
Yeah.
We've had from 13 to 40.
Yeah.
But right now, the little girl that just won the British Open, the girl from Germany,
mm-hmm.
she played in the Spirit.
Oh, she did.
You know, Jordan Spieth came through there. Scottie Scheffler have been there. Martin Keimer, Ustasin, you know. So it's a tournament. It's a celebration of golf, and it's four players from each country, two men, two ladies, competing, and it's up in Trinity, Texas, the hidden gem of golf.
Yep, and well, you're the president of it now, so congratulations. I've known it for a while, but we finally get to say it. And we'll say a lot more about it on the other side. Billy Harmon's going to join us. You just started the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. To the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Oh, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Billy Harmon joins us here along with the president and myself.
Before we introduce Billy, I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pronounce any name.
Mispronounce?
That is Smith or Jones. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to try to pronounce funny names.
Not funny names like Smith or Jones?
Yeah.
Or Woods?
And Bill will make fun of me. So
okay.
Now you can welcome.
Welcome in, Billy. Did he
you
have.
You mean like Brant Snitaker or somebody like Snitaker?
did he have a few faux pas last week when I was gone, Bill?
Just one.
No, John, Charlie was pretty good. He's getting better, you know. He clears his throat now in the middle of breaks instead of the middle of sentences and
good.
Things like that, you know. He's only been doing it about 25 years, so he's finally catching on to a couple things, John.
He'll catch on.
Yeah, speaking of that, we miss your dog. Where's your dog?
Yeah, well, actually, today I've got an early lesson, so I'm driving to work, so you won't be... Gizmo is up, but he's not. He wasn't snoring when the phone rang. Plus, I'm in my car, so you probably miss him more than you miss me, huh, Charlie?
No, I can't wait for your wisdom on Sunday morning.
There you go.
So
it's Saturday, but that's okay.
Saturday or Sunday morning? They're ready. We already started at Smith and Woods and whatnot. So let's get it started, and let's get it started with Dustin Johnson, guys, because we a lot of times we'll forget about what happened last week. But and Bill, I'm with you. I didn't think it was very enjoyable. 30 under is just it's just not fun, especially when you've got he wins by 11, and so there was very little. Drama. There was very little to watch for last week, except to watch excellence in Dustin Johnson. But that's just not fun golf, as opposed to what we're watching this week.
Well, I mean, kudos to DJ. His 30 under was just incredible golf. And anytime you beat the best 125 players by 11 shots, that's an incredible performance. But I prefer watching this, what we're seeing this week. And I'm not saying we have to have it every week, but I wouldn't mind it if it was, seven, eight, nine, 10 times a year where there is a absolute premium on hitting the ball straight and controlling the golf ball. And we've said on the show for years that there's a couple ways to harness these people. And one of them is not let them be in complete control of exactly where the ball stops. And what you're seeing now is guys out of the rough almost have no chance. If they can reach the green, they're not going to keep it on the green. I was watching a little bit yesterday afternoon, and, wedge shots are hitting and going another 20, 30 feet after they hit, and it's just requiring more good shots. You've got to drive it good. You've got to do everything well in these conditions. And I prefer to watch that. I'm tired of every hole being a drive and a wedge and every par five being a drive and a seven iron. I just think that accuracy and things like that should be important with the best players in the world. So I don't see why they have to set the courses up so they can shoot 25 under every week.
Yeah. Charles?
My opening line is Olympia Fields is playing like a beast. Results, high scores, and it's all about the conditions. It's firm, fast, and fiery. That's the golf course. But having watched Dustin Johnson do what he did, it was kind of like watching Secretariat complete the Triple Crown.
That's true. Very good.
That was really a big thrill. So I was just really amazed on what Dustin Johnson did. I mean, because he beat the field by so many. And his talent, and you've always said this, was just superior. I mean, his clubhead speed, his putting. How about his putting? I mean, he rolled the
beautiful
golf ball like nobody else.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to him. Sure, I'm enjoying this week. I watch guys hit the ball and it goes up to the green and comes back to their feet. I'm not sure that's fun, but it's fun to watch.
Well, we don't know. I mean, you don't know at any point somebody could blow up.
Yep.
Somebody could, you mishit it just a little bit, and it could cost you even two or three strokes. So this is crazy how good. Now, the guys have talked about it. This is a U.S. Open course, isn't it?
Yes, there's no doubt about it. They've played the U.S. Open there. They've played all of the majors there. The PGA and U.S. Open, of course, not the Open Championship and the Masters. But what's interesting, last week, one under made the cut. This week, one under's leading the tournament. So
Dustin is right there this week. So yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting if he won 1 week on the Birdie Fest event, and then he came back and won the very next week on a totally different test of golf? Well, that would be a tremendous achievement, and obviously would solidify his number one position. But more importantly, it would show you that it doesn't make any difference what the conditions are. If he's on, he's on. Butch said he's the most talented player that he's ever seen, physically gifted. He said he's a little bit like Tiger, that when he's on, he's unbeatable. The only difference is that he's on 5 weeks a year, and Tiger was on for 20 years.
That's a big difference.
That's the only small difference.
Yeah, that, there's a little bit of a difference there. So, and you're, and so, give us some insight, guys. How do you? I mean, he had to walk off the course shooting 88. I mean, he was lost, and then he comes back a couple of weeks later and dominates. How do you do that?
Well, that's the magic of the game of golf. It's so delicate, from being playing really well, hitting great shots, to hitting a marginal shot, and you can't get it up and down, and your mind just kind of goes south on you. Where, you know, Tiger was opposite of that. He could handle some bad shots, but it's unique. It's a unique game, and we're seeing the best of it, and we're going to see even more when we go to Wingfoot, Bill. I think this is setting the players up for a great U.S. Open at Wingfoot.
Yeah, all my scouts tell me that Wingfoot is set up as tough as you can imagine. You know, but back to DJ, his coach, Claude, my nephew, told me that during the COVID period and the time off, Dustin didn't hardly touch a golf club. So when the tour ramped back up, he really wasn't even in spring training. So he kind of took that time off to do whatever he does on his time off. But he really didn't focus much on golf. And it just, to me, I think Johnny just played his way back into shape, is what I would say. And one thing about him, and I've said this a lot, he doesn't appear to have nerves. He's not a nervous guy. Claude said he has no rearview mirror. Bad shots really don't bother him much. And he handles himself unbelievably well on a golf course. And by and large, makes a lot of good decisions. Butch said he's got a very high golf IQ, and that he knows how to play. And they commented last week how he was always missing it on the fat side of the green. They must have said that 10 times on TV, that he knew where to miss it. And that's not happenstance. That's because he plans his shots properly and sees the right shot. And so he's played himself back into shape. Wingfoot should be an interesting test for him, because I think Wingfoot is more of a draw. You've got to draw some drives off the tee at Wingfoot. And he doesn't draw the ball very well, I don't think, Charlie. And there's quite a few holes where you don't really have a lot of room to start a fade.
You think
so? That'll be interesting to see how he plays that.
You think he's long enough with the 3-wood? I mean, he can turn a 3-wood better than he can a driver.
Absolutely. But I mentioned that, you know, at Harding Park, I was surprised that he didn't hit 3-wood off some of the dogleg left holes that you couldn't start a fade, number 12 for sure. And so I would think that would be something for him to work on. So, because there's about 4 or 5 holes there, critical holes, that they don't lend themselves to hitting a cutoff. You have to be really, really precise to put a fade in the fairway. So it'll be interesting, as talented as he is, to think that he couldn't draw a ball would be probably pretty silly to say, but it certainly would be easier for him to do it with a more lofty club.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear your and Charlie's insight with Wingfoot, because you guys know it so well, Bill, especially you, having grown up there. So that'll be interesting when we get to it. We got a lot to get to here still. 22 past the hour. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hey, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, let's go. We got Billy and Charlie here, and we're talking about what looks like a U.S. Open this week at the BMW. This is a good test, too, for the playoffs. This is a great test for the playoffs, a test of endurance. We're getting down to the last 30 for next week going to Atlanta. And this is a great, great – after you know, nothing but birdies, you got nothing but bogeys this week. And that's a great test to see who's the all-around golfer. And it appears to be Dustin Johnson, by far the number one player in the world, guys.
As of right now, sure.
It's not even arguable right now.
No, it really isn't. And but interesting about going into Atlanta, you know, Adam Scott – started the tournament 38th on the the FedEx Cup, and now he's moved into to 29th. So there's some guys that still are jockeying for position, but Billy, the format for next week where you get a couple extra shots for where you finished.
Well, minus 10 if you win if you start in first place like Dustin Johnson is going to. Minus 10,
is that fair?
Well, you know, I understand what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to reward you for good play and not have everybody start out even when you've been kicking somebody's butt for the whole season. You know, the year that Bill Haas won the FedEx Cup, I think he went into the last event about 25th. And Webb Simpson, who was leading, all he had to do was finish in the top 20 or something. He finished about 28th. And the confluence of events that got Bill to the FedEx Cup, you could make the case that, you know, that he wasn't the best player all year long. So I think they're trying to make this as equitable as they can. You know, fair, I don't even think is in the rule book of the game of golf. So I don't know what fair or unfair would be. I think they're trying to do their best to reward the people that have played the best all year and give them a little, you know, I guess in other sports, John, you get byes, you know, in the playoffs and home court advantage, home field advantage, things like that. And it's harder to do in the game of golf. So I think, I agree with what they're trying to do. It's interesting. But, you know, when you're starting, let's say it's Rory who's the number one guy and you're starting 10 shots back behind Rory on the first tee on Thursday next week, you know, that's giving Rory 2.5 shots a round. I think he'd take that bet with any of those players if they said, hey, for $10 million, I'll give you 2.5 shots a round. But I think it's you earn it, so it can't be unfair because it's based on your performance. So, you know, they've been trying to tweak these playoffs, Charlie, from the very first day. And I think so far they're doing the best they can.
Well,
I don't know if it's fair or unfair to answer your question.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this. At the very least, what's really good about it is if you win the tournament, you win the FedEx Cup, as opposed to the guy who's coming in on Sunday and he wins the final event in Atlanta, but he finishes third in the FedEx Cup. So if you win this thing, you start minus 10 at Justin Johnson, minus 8, who's ever second, minus 6, who's ever third. If you win this thing, then you win the FedEx Cup, which makes it a lot easier for the viewer.
Yeah, so I think what Billy said is correct. I mean, the word fair is really not a word in the game of golf. So you accept it and you go play and you have a great time as you win $10 million,
yeah.
$15 million, isn't it, Bill, this year? Anyways, it's a lot of money.
Something like that, yeah, they keep changing it. I'm sure it's more money because, you know, for quite a few years, John, they made these guys play 4 weeks in a row, $10 million tournaments to get this stuff. That's cruel and unusual punishment to make these guys hop in their private jet and fly to that tournament the next week and play 4 tournaments in a row. Boy, that's tough.
How are they going to do it?
Well, Webb Simpson's not playing this week. He was tired. And he's in position where there should be a rule if you're gonna you got to play all playoffs. You think that's fair? Here we go.
That's
fair
what
again.
I would have done when they changed it from 4 to 3. That's what I would have done. If you want to participate, you know, then you have to play in all the events. And if you don't, that's fine. Then you're out. You know, so I'd take the guesswork out of it if I were the commish. But I see things a little more directly than most people.
Is this a good primer for the U.S. Open?
This course?
No, this whole thing. I mean, you're going to be, but you know, after this is said and done, I can't imagine many guys are going to be out there anywhere next week. Yeah. Is this a good way to get ready for the Open?
I would say so, but you know, this is such an unusual year. I just don't think you can compare it to anything. So I think the people that are emotionally more flexible will probably be okay, and the people that you know, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with it, why it's harder and stuff like that, then they're just going to sabotage themselves. I mean, let's face it, we've all made sacrifices to all of this. Every single person in the world, but certainly in this country, has had to make some sacrifices because of COVID. So if you're not a terminally unique person, you roll with it, you make the changes as necessary, and you do the best you can with what you've got. And it's just a very, very odd year. And all the sports, to me, are doing the best they can to try to figure this thing out. And they have no information base to go back on. They're learning on the run. So I think it'll be survival of the fittest. So the people that have kept themselves emotionally ready and stuff will probably flourish at Wingfoot, and the ones that think, oh, this is a terrible way to get you ready for the Open, well, if they want to show up to Wingfoot feeling that way, they're going to get their ass kicked, in my opinion, by the court.
Well, if having seen Tiger have this week, what do you think his chances are to win another major at Wingfoot?
Well, you know, the good side of what's going on now is he's going to have a little time off to get ready because he's probably not going to make go to East Lake. So, you know, I've learned a long time ago, you don't root against Tiger. So, it doesn't surprise me at all when he plays good. So why wouldn't he find something to play good at Wingfoot or, you know, Augusta, Charlie? There's never been a course made for him more than that, and he knows it better than everybody. So, you know, he's not in form right now, but he's got time to get in form. He's got, you know, 3 weeks to get ready for the U.S. Open, and then, you know, the Masters is until November. So it wouldn't surprise me if he won one of these two events, one of the majors. Not at all.
Well, I feel bad for the Safeway Open because we got last week, this week, the playoffs, and we got next week in Atlanta. Then we got the Safeway. Then we got the U.S. Open. So all these guys that are playing all of these playoffs, the Safeway. Guess what? And these are in a lot of instances here, I want to play the week before a major, but I'm worn out. Yep. Webb Simpson gave up in the middle of the playoffs because he was worn out. So the Safeway the week before, if you normally play the week before a major, but you've been playing in these playoffs right now, chances are you're going to take the Safeway off and not play the week before Wingfoot.
And Safeway's been used to that. It's never had a real good date.
No.
It's always been at the end of the season, and so they really, you know, go ahead, John.
Plus, you go all the way from Atlanta to Silverado Resort in California and then back to New York. And it, I mean, that makes very little sense for these players.
Well, but they have that jet.
Well, those 30 aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
Basically.
No.
They're not. Those 30, I bet if they got 5 out of the 30 to play Silverado would be a lot.
So
I'd be surprised if they got any of them, to be honest with you.
Well, so but how about guys now that, you know, do like to play the week before a major to get the juices flowing, to get, you know, and now this week they're not going to play. So maybe that'll be a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it, but it certainly would be different for them and whether or not they can, you know, adjust to that heading into
That's
a major.
True.
You know?
But I think what some of them might do is take a little trip up to Wingfoot for a day or two the week before and see what happens.
Yep, maybe. All right. So we've got some more for you. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. What about Insperity, Charlie?
A company that was founded in 1986 has grown so quickly, has more than almost 4,000 employees. And the reason is the philosophy of the chairman and the creator of this great company and his executives is they know how to treat their people. Their people, it's one of the best companies to work for in the city of Houston, for that matter, all in the country. So their success is people. And the small business person today, and after what the year we've had, if you need some help getting off the ground again and getting going the right direction, give Insperity a call, because their expertise, of course, is human resources. Excuse me. But they also can give you a different look at your business and help you grow it. So they're multi-purpose. They're multifaceted. They can look at your business from different angles. So if you want to improve your business, log on to Insperity.com. Look them over and invite them in and get their opinion. And I guarantee you, you'll be very impressed. Insperity, one of the best companies in the United States.
Inspiring business performance.
John. Said John. That's See, it, you know it.
That's it. All right. So here we go. We got a great weekend of golf, and we haven't even talked about that leaderboard at all. What with Rory being up there, guys, this is kind of unusual. We haven't been seeing Rory at the top of a leaderboard too much.
He used a scary word this week.
What'd he say?
He yipped a putt.
He yipped it? Ooh, yikes. That's almost like the S word.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he had to go back to his other putter because of the feel and the heaviness and all that. So it appeared. And I was surprised to hear him use that word, Bill.
Yeah. Almost like
I saw Tiger miss a hit a 3-footer and leave it about 8 inches short yesterday. The worst putt I've ever seen him hit.
I saw that
I've
too.
I've never seen him hit a putt that bad.
What is it? Is it the winds? Is it the greens? Is it what's going on out there?
Scar tissue. They're just afraid of the ball getting away from them, and all of a sudden
they must be lightning, huh?
It's you know, like being a prize fighter. You get hit upside the head, you get a little leery, you know, and that's what they are. In that same hole, he chipped the ball up, and the ball almost came back to his feet. Justin Thomas did the same thing on that same hole. You go for a back pin, Bill, and you go over it, and they have it tricked up. Another condition that produces double bogeys.
Yeah, I was. I remember watching Tiger hit an iron on a par 3 yesterday, and it carried about pin high. And you know, nobody hits it higher and softer than Tiger Woods, and the ball didn't even stay on the green; went right off the back of the green. So I think on courses like this, John and Charlie, where you miss becomes a huge factor, because this is the course for every hole that you make a par on, you're picking up round on the field. And so where you miss becomes very critical, don't you think, Charlie?
Oh, my gosh, yes. You really, you can see him, you know, having to bounce the ball 15, 20 feet in front of the green and hoping that it stays on the back of the green. So you can't, like you said, fly the ball like you're accustomed to and make it spin. There's a few holes that the ball will spin and stop, but for the most part, they're rock hard, and the players are jumpy, and the scores are going to reflect that this afternoon.
So,
have you ever been there?
Yes, I've been there. I think it's a wonderful course. It's South Chicago. It used to have three beautiful golf courses. Now they have two, and it's a great old club, and the golf courses are excellent. It reminds me of Wingfoot. I mean, be honest with you, it's just those old big elm trees, and it's wonderful, absolutely beautiful, very picturesque.
Let's talk a little. You wanted to talk a little bit about the ladies, Billy. What you got?
Well, I just thought the story of the girl that won, Sophia Popov, was so incredible to me. What most people didn't realize till afterwards, she'd been suffering from Lyme disease for about 5 years. But 3 weeks before the British Open, she was caddying in an LPGA event. She had no status whatsoever. And then she got into the next tournament and finished in the top 10. And rather than go right, that got her into the Open. And rather than go there, she went back to Arizona and played in the Cactus Tour event and finished second. And then flies to Scotland, plays one practice round. And in her whole professional career, she'd won $108,000. And she wins the Ladies British Open and $650,000. And when you want to talk about a life-changing experience in golf, there have been very few like this. You know, when Ben Curtis won the Open Championship, I still think he was a tour player. This girl had no status on the LPGA Tour. She was caddying in an LPGA event 3 weeks before this championship, and she wins the tournament. It was just a phenomenal performance. I just thought it was so great. And as we were talking about the highs and lows of Dustin Johnson, and Charlie was talking about the vagaries of the game, this is what the game also affords. You know, low score wins. There are no judges in golf. Yeah. And a girl went out on a championship layout and played so beautifully on Sunday with everything on the line. Couldn't have been happier for her. I just thought it was a great story.
Wonderful story. And this girl that won, she's from Germany. It's your first German lady professional to win a major championship. But, Bill, she also played in the tournament in Trinity, Texas, which I'm involved in now, called the Spirit, where two great amateurs, lady and men from each country, they come to Texas and we have a competition. But out of that tournament, she won that. And so
she won the Spirit?
They didn't win the Spirit. But she played well enough to get there, so you know she's a good player.
Yeah.
She did at one time have her card, and then she got sick,
yes,
and then
she did.
She lost it. So it's a magnificent story, but now the fruits of that win, she's not going to get all the benefits because it's supposed to give you a five-year exemption, and they're only going to give her a two-year exemption because she didn't have her LPGA card.
That's garbage. If you win, you win. Give her 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Somebody has to, the commissioner has to say, you know what? I'm going to amend that rule.
Well,
he said
he wasn't going to do it.
Now, I don't get that.
He said he wasn't going to do it, and he also, another major's coming up in a couple weeks, the one that was supposed to be played in Palm Springs in February, Bill. It's coming up, and he won't let her in that.
Well, that's garbage. She won,
yeah.
And what a story! What a story! This is a movie. This is a made for. This is
some common sense.
Yeah,
yeah. This is a movie, guys.
Yeah.
You know how she was good, and she got sick, and then she comes back, and she's caddying, and then she wins the British Open.
She wins the major championship.
Yeah.
That's a
great story.
And she won it.
I'm going to start the book right now.
And she won it in style. I mean, she had a four-shot lead, but she did, you know, make birdies coming down, and she held it together.
I guess she did. Great stuff.
I watched the whole thing on Sunday. I loved it.
That's great stuff. How about Phil, guys, with his debut?
Magnificent.
Whoa, how about that?
You know, I mean, it's great for the Champions Tour. I mean, it's great for Phil. It proved, you know, he's playing pretty good, but with those fairways being 60, you know.
That course is made for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was playing that mountaintop golf, but, it was fun to watch Phil do it, and he's the 20th player. 20th player to win his first tournament as a senior golfer. And Phil just loves to play golf, Bill. He'll go anywhere to play. I don't know if this helped.
I couldn't believe how physically fit he looks.
Yeah.
He's so trim. He just looks so good. And, boy, if he can learn to find the driver, he could be, have a possibility at Wingfoot if he could just. But my scouts tell me every fairway there's 28 yards wide and the rough is up. Everyone that I've talked to that's a member there tells me they'd be very surprised if anybody broke par.
If anybody broke par at Wingfoot, wow.
Yeah, if they set it up, USGA will be able to probably dictate the score anytime. But he said if they play it the way it's playing now, they said you can throw a ball in the rough from 5 yards and you have to put out a search party to find it.
Well, the other thing...
That's kind of what it was like at Olympia Fields. I saw some, Mark Rolfing said on one hole that Justin Thomas, he was about a yard off the fairway, said he can hardly see the ball from where he's standing down so deep.
Wow. Yeah, the only defense that the players are going to have at Wingfoot is not going to have 100-degree weather because it's in September. So the greens probably won't be as fat.
What if it's cold, brisk, and windy, though?
Well, that's also. But you think it will be, Bill? Is it September's pretty?
Oh, you don't know. It's kind of the beginning of fall. And,
yeah, September's pretty nice. And
September, so it could get down, and it could be perfect. I suspect it'll be perfect, 70-degree weather, and hopefully the trees will be changing colors and things like that. But I think it should be just a fantastic event, and I'm still grinding to figure out a way to get there. So I got one of my members has been texting me all morning. He thinks he'd come up with a way for me to get there. So we'll see. I just want to be watching.
Well, yeah. Live, Billy's going to be bringing us live from the U.S. Open.
That's it.
Live from the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Well, Bill, that'll be your broadcasting. I know you didn't get to do it all week on television on Fox, so maybe you just do it on Saturday morning with us. How'd that be?
Yeah, I'll have to just switch gears. I think I'll be able to handle it.
Yep. All right, let's take our last break. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Great golf week. We had Dustin Johnson with a record-setting performance. We had Phil Mickelson. We had Sophia Popoff. Now we've got a really, really tough tournament in the suburbs of Chicago. And
you're a Chicago boy. Have you ever played?
Oh, I didn't play when I was in. I didn't start playing until I was older. So, I never played there. But I don't want to play there. Not if those guys are shooting 8, 9, 10 over. Forget about it. That's not for me. The scores are unbelievable. Mark Leishman, 23 over, boys. Okay, how good a player is Mark Leishman? And he's 23 over. Colin Morikawa, a top 7 player in the world, is 8 over. It's just so difficult. So unbelievably difficult. What you got there, Charlie?
That's the Lakeside Country Club in Houston, Texas.
Oh, my goodness.
They built
beautiful.
After the horrible, hurricane.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They did an unbelievable job. Congratulations to those guys. So there's guy after guy after guy, maybe the greatest player in the world, Tiger Woods, all struggling out there. Guys who were 15, 18, 20 over, 20 under last week are 1 and 2 and 5 over this week. And Dustin Johnson right there, boys, again this week. Who we got? Who you like this weekend?
Boy, it's a shootout. I would like Rory to win. But I haven't picked anybody this year, so I'm the kiss of death.
Billy?
Well, I'm going to go with a little trend line, a guy that seems to pop in every now and then, do something really good. Oosthuizen played better last week, and he seems to be playing pretty good now. So he's right there at one over. I'm going to pick a little long shot that when Louis's on, he's a world-class player, but he doesn't get on a lot, but when he is, he seems to be a guy that can finish the deal. So I'm going to go with the affable Louis Oosthuizen.
I think the only time he's on is when he needs a new tractor.
Yeah, that's, there's a lot of, I was thinking that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Finau. I think Tony Finau is going to break through, and he's going to win a tournament. He's going to come through in the weekend. And it's about damn time, too, because he's too good a player to have so few. He and Ricky both so few wins on the tour. He's got to start breaking through. I'm going to tell you this, though. Well, Brendan Todd, what a year this guy is having, huh?
Yes.
He's up there again. He's won over. And just where he's come from and where he is right now, boy,
it's
talk
pretty
about.
Darn good, yeah. But I'm going to pick Patrick Cantlay.
Cantlay?
He's a hard course good player, so we'll see if he can close the deal.
He's playing. He certainly is playing well now, so that's for sure. Well, we got to – I don't know if you congratulated him last week, but this is the first week I've seen him since he became president of the Spirit, Billy. So we just got to leave on that note that our president, our fine president,
thank you,
of the Spirit,
appreciate
is
that
out there, and he's raising money for wonderful causes, and that's a great, and that is great, Charlie.
Spirit Golf Association.
That's right. So, Billy, we will talk
to you
again next week, pal.
Thanks, Bill.
All right.
You got it, brothers.
All right. There's Billy Harmon, and there's Charlie Epps, and this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Spirit Inspiring Business Performance. We will talk to you again next week. Y'all have a great golf week, everybody.